What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Mentally Entangled podcast. This is your host, SB Sanchez. It has been a minute, so we're just gonna ease back into this. Lots been happening from the last episode to now, just really busy with a lot of things, but we're hoping to get this going again on a more consistent basis. I do have RJ back with me still. The plan is still to keep this season two rolling, but what have you been up to, RJ?
I've been working very hard on my online fitness business, and I've just been keeping myself busy with doing online coaching and in-person training as well, and just continuing to just build both of those. So it's been pretty good.
Have you had any like new or exciting things that you've been working on lately, or still just kind of working on what we had talked about the last time, like the upcoming of your online program?
Yeah, I mean, we've been growing slowly and steadily. It's been definitely a learning curve for sure, as far as the marketing side and everything that goes into actually like running a business online, because it's in fact the total opposite of running a business like for in-person training. And so two separate businesses requires two different skill sets to be able to scale. So it's been a learning curve, but it's been great. My clients, they've been doing amazing, and it's been such a rewarding thing thus far. And so I just want to continue to build upon it.
So obviously with adding a whole new project onto your plate, when it comes to the mental side of it, like how do you keep yourself from being overwhelmed with like stress?
Well, I think that I try to separate myself from it as much as possible, because at the end of the day, I think that the stress is going to always be there. It's a stressful thing. Running a business is very hard, and having a boatload of clients on top of that, that depends on you, is also very hard and stressful. So you can't, you know, run away from the fact that that thing is stressful. But what you can do is you can put certain things in place to where you are able to separate yourself from the business and the actual thing that you're doing, to give yourself that mental break, you know, and really be able to reset, reboot, and give your mental like time to just calm down, give yourself time to just do something that isn't that, and just enjoy yourself a little bit, enjoy just living life outside of the business. Because I think a lot of times too, you can get consumed in it, and it can become like, you would think that would be just your whole world, and it's easily to get consumed in it. So you got to really make sure that you're just separating the two as much as possible.
Yeah, just like having that boundary in place.
Yes.
Reminding yourself that although like running your business is obviously a huge part of your life and you really care about it, it doesn't have to become the only thing.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. That's tough though.
Yeah, definitely. But it's been good though. It's been really good.
That's good.
So what's been going on with you?
Not much. I mean, obviously just getting used to being like full swing in my like main profession, I feel like. You know, you're in school for so long, you work really, really hard to like have that title, become that thing, and then one day you kind of just, you're just getting thrown into the actual daily routine of being an adult. Mm-hmm. And that thing that you went to school for is now what you do every day. Right. It's definitely a lot. Like what I do is not easy. And I think you pointed out a really good fact, the idea of ensuring that I have that boundary between, like, even when it comes to working on my own brand, like not allowing for that to become the only thing that I identify with, you know. But it is hard because it's like these things are really important to us. On top of that too, we have a lot of people relying on us with the professions that we do. Like we are a people business, and I think that applies its own pressure in its own way, that makes it difficult sometimes to put the laptop down or to, you know, close the books, so to speak. But figuring it out too, as I have more and more experience, just understanding, I guess, how to keep myself mentally sane, mentally healthy,
right.
finding that in between, and rolling with the punches. That's been a huge part. But I'm obviously really glad that we have found the time and space to get back to this. The conversation we plan on having today is a really good one, and I'm excited for it. You and I have had this type of conversation, obviously, before. Sometimes I wish I could mic us up, like when we have our own conversations on the side, just so that people could hear in. But I'm hoping that today, even though it'll be a little bit more structured than most of our natural conversations, we'll be able to share some of our thoughts. And the theme today really is going to be like this idea of reaching the next level. And the connection that it has to like the confidence we have in ourselves, mm-hmm. and like how to avoid stagnation, how to avoid the idea of getting too comfortable, because that's like a theme that I feel like I see a lot, and people find themselves frustrated with this thing, like the inability to reach the next level and whatever they desire to, or lack the confidence that it takes to get to that next thing that they want really, really bad. Mm. People get really frustrated with that. Yeah. It's hard to be in that space and then not know what to do. Like, what do I do to get to the next level? Like, what am I missing? How do I hold on to that confidence, I guess, to actually be willing to take whatever risk it's going to take to get there. Yeah. So, but what are your thoughts on that? Like the idea of getting to the next level? Because obviously that's kind of like the pinnacle of your personal story. Just this idea of you constantly, even now with your online business, like you being in a position where you're trying to, I guess, I guess it is kind of like reaching another level, another layer, adding another layer to your business. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that it comes from like just trying the constant evolution of trying to be better, and just every day just trying to be better and better and be better than you were yesterday. I think, and over time, as that builds up, I think that you'll find yourself striving for more than what you even thought initially.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that plays a big part into just shooting for like extremely high goals, you know, and like you never know where you may land, you know, and you may find yourself right where you wanted to be. And now you find yourself in a situation where you want to go even further than that, you know, because as you go and like you continue to try to grow in whatever profession or whatever it is that you're doing, like, you know, there are certain things that comes along with that, that, you know, you may feel like you're getting sidetracked with, but in actuality, like, it's just you continuing to evolve. You know, and there's nothing wrong with that. So if you have a goal, but then along with trying to chase that goal, you end up like having side things that you feel like you want to accomplish along the way. Mm. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with doing those things too.
Yeah.
You know, as long as you are able to have a structured way of doing it, you know, and being able to maybe do it all if you can.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think when I was mentioning kind of like what the theme was going to be today, and I think you started hinting on it, is this idea of, I guess, like not letting yourself be okay with comfort. And people love being comfortable.
Yes.
Because it feels safe.
Yes.
And being uncomfortable doesn't feel so safe.
Yes.
And the growth that you're mentioning, it does require, I think, a layer of discomfort that can be easy to run away from. And just stick to the safety of the thing that maybe you already have going on, or the salary that you already have, or the career you already established, right? So why would I go out and start a new career or start that business that, I said I wanted 10 years ago, but now I'm a dentist and I went through school and everything and this is making me money. So why would I change that? You know, it's like that idea. But I do think that it's important. One of the things that motivated us to have this conversation, just so that the viewers get some extra resources out of this, is the episode that we were watching on the Pivot podcast. And the lady, the author, Mel Robbins, right?
Yes.
Which she has a lot of great resources, and she's just really well-spoken. She's considered like a motivational speaker. But even the way she was referencing this idea of like pain, that change requires pain. And as humans, we're not comfortable with the idea of having to be in pain to change something. And I think that is the piece that keeps people many times away from actually doing what it's going to take to get to that next level.
Yes. And it's one of those things that is very uncomfortable, you know? And I think like in my world of fitness, like I think one of those things that I can equate to that is like fasting, you know, fasting and dieting. It's uncomfortable. Right. And it's not easy, especially for, you know, most of us, if not all of us, are comfortable consuming food just whenever we feel hungry, you know. And so to start to restrict yourself of those habits is very uncomfortable and it's tough. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think just in life itself, if you want change, it's going to be hard. It's going to be tough. And it's going to be a lot of days where you're questioning if this is the right way to go about it. But in actuality, it is, you know, like nothing is given, you know, everything here is earned, you know, you gotta earn it, you know, and by doing so, you gotta go through the struggles, you know?
Yeah, I agree. And I knew obviously that we were going to be having this conversation. So I was stalking your Instagram because I know on there you have like a little tab for quotes. And since you brought it up, I'm gonna go ahead and call you out. I do like this quote. I'm not just bringing this up for the sake of this conversation, but one of the things that I had seen on there was this quote. And I think it kind of, I guess, summarizes what we're talking about really well. So your quote by, well, it says RJ Fitness, but I'm assuming that's also just you as a person.
Just so, me.
It says, true progress in fitness lies on the opposite side of your comfort zone. It's when you push beyond the boundaries of familiarity and embrace the challenge that growth truly begins. Step away from what feels easy and embrace the discomfort as your guiding force. Only by venturing into the unknown can you unravel your untapped potential, redefine your limits, and sculpt a stronger, more resilient version of yourself. So obviously, in that quote, you are talking about fitness and going to the gym and lifting weights or whatever it may be, losing weight.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like that kind of summarizes in general what you have to do in life a lot of the times.
Absolutely. And the key piece of that is like the perseverance of it all. And like anytime you get knocked down, you have to continue to get back up and keep going, you know. And but every time you get knocked down, like it's sculpting a stronger you. You know, you are becoming more resilient mentally, I would say, and physically, you know. Like you're going to be ready for whatever at the end of the day. And so I think that's very important. But one of the questions that I did want to ask you was that, do you think like confidence, like just pure confidence, is that something that can be actually built over time? Or is that just one of those things that somebody just having them from day one?
That's a really good question. I do think that no matter what amount of confidence is fostered into you at a young age, it can be built upon. Yeah, of course, like if you are raised in a home where the idea of confidence is instilled in you, the idea of having to overcome challenges, I think that obviously will help a lot if during your developmental stages, that's something that you are like shown, whether through modeling or simply through someone providing you the knowledge on how that's done. But I think it is really important to understand that it can be built. As humans, we love patterns. Like that is bread and butter of human nature. If you do something over and over and over again, it becomes natural.
Right.
When you do it the first 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 times,
yes,
it's gonna feel weird. So a lot of times when you hear these people talking about like confidence, you know, it's like have confidence in yourself, you know, do things confidently. But very rarely do you get told like what that looks like. And it starts with micro behaviors, right? So before you get on the stage to give a big speech, you have to do the micro behaviors leading up to that.
Yeah.
Perform out loud in front of a mirror, do it in the shower, do it in the car, do it in front of a small group of friends, right? Leading up to that big event, if you know you've got a really big speech coming up that you're going to have to present in front of hundreds of people, why would you wait until then to have that practice?
Right.
Schedule another three speeches from now until then, even if it's just a crowd of 20.
Right.
But do it.
Yeah.
Right? Do it and get it right. And then do it again and get it right again. Because I think confidence at the end of the day is attached to practice a lot of the times. And proving to ourselves that we can not only do something, but do something well is where that, I think that confidence piece comes in. Because it's just a repetition.
Right.
At the end of the day, if you do something right a certain amount of times, you're going to have confidence that you can do it again.
Yes.
But what do you think? Do you think that it's just like something that we're born with? Or, I mean, well, let me just ask you, do you feel like you were born with confidence or is something that you had to learn over time?
No, I definitely wasn't born with confidence. I had no confidence growing up a lot of times. But I think what happens is like over time, once you focus in on something, right? You start to build, like you said, those micro habits. Right. Just daily, just doing the thing. Right. Whatever it is that you feel like you want to be confident in, because I feel like if you pick one thing to try to be confident in, then it's going to blossom into other factors into your life. And you're not even going to know it. Mm-hmm. Right. And then you're going to notice yourself just being confident without even having to try. Right. That just becomes a part of your identity. And then now people are looking at you a different way. They're talking to you different. Mm-hmm. You know, and the respect factor does change and it's a good feeling. But I think too, people, it can become addicting. And then that's when you kind of start to see that confidence turn into arrogance because you want more and more people to just bow down to the work that you have put in.
Yeah.
You know, and now it becomes an expectation when it's like at the end of the day, like nobody owes you anything in that regard.
Well, I don't know. It's crazy, though, is that overconfidence a lot of times looks similar to lack of confidence. Let me explain that. So overconfidence, the cockiness, that's when you get into the, you lose the ability to be humble. Mm-hmm. A lot of times that looks like lack of confidence because you stop doing the things that got you there in the first place. So let's say you're number one because the draft obviously just happened. Okay, so I'm going to tap into football. Not that I know a lot about football, not that kind at least, but we're going to go for it, okay? So say you're the number one player on your college team, right? You're one of the best football, one of the best college football players in the nation. So you go into the draft, right?
Yes.
And you've worked really, really hard to get to that moment.
Yes.
And then boom, you get drafted. Doesn't matter. At this point, we don't, let's say you're the 50th pick. I don't really care, okay? The point is, you're a professional football player.
Yes.
Right? So then you show up. Now you're on a professional team, but then the idea of being a professional football player, that becomes enough for you. So you're telling everybody that you're a professional player. You just got a little extra money in your pocket now, right? So you're wearing the jewelry. You got the girl on the right, the girl on the left. You got yourself a little rot. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
You fall in love with the fact that you're a football player.
Yes.
But not the idea of what it takes to continue to be a football player.
Yes.
So you stop doing the extra work.
Right.
You don't do the extra practice. You don't do the extra cardio. You don't go to practices unless they're required, right?
Right.
So you're not going out there and getting an extra lift in at 5 a.m.
Yes.
That looks very similar to somebody who lacks confidence.
Yes.
Because a lot of times, somebody who lacks confidence isn't doing those things that would get them to that confidence level, right?
Right.
So a college football player that wants to be on a professional football team one day, but doesn't do the work that it would require to actually get there.
Right.
So they're lacking the confidence, but they're doing nothing to increase the confidence. Does that make sense?
For sure.
So it's interesting because I think that in a lot of ways they kind of look similar.
Yeah.
And it's not until you find that in between of like embracing the work that it takes to be confident in the thing that you say you want to do without letting it to get to a point where you forget what it takes to be there in the first place.
Right. I agree. I love that. And I think that so also speaking of the draft, I would say, so the main hot topic that's been on discussion board is Shedeur Sanders.
Right.
Shedeur Sanders, I think. He was projected to be at least a top five pick in the first round of the NFL draft, and he fell to the, I believe, the fifth round.
Yes.
And, yeah, it's a tremendous drop.
It was like 144th pick.
Yes.
Or, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And nobody's ever seen anything like this. And we're talking about somebody who comes from nothing but confidence. His dad is instilled. His dad, who is also legendary, Deion Sanders.
Yes.
And also the head football coach of the Colorado Buffaloes.
Yes.
And he's just been doing tremendous work, being a head coach and just being able to get these kids to a place to where they, you know, are respectable again, you know, and that team. And so, but yeah, he comes from a family of confidence, right? Mm-hmm. So my question to you is, like, he did get drafted, but he didn't get drafted where he wanted to, obviously, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so my question to you is, like, he leans on confidence a lot, right?
Right.
That's why people don't really like him, I would say. A lot of, you know, the people who didn't want to draft him probably didn't like it, right?
Right.
Didn't like him. Didn't like his dad or whatever the case may be, because they really hone in on that confidence piece. So they tried to, I feel like, kill his confidence a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like bring the
temperature down. Somewhere.
Yeah. Bring the temperature down a little bit with the confidence piece. So how does that now affect him, you think, by him falling so far? Like, do you think, like, that humbled him to the point where now he's probably going to have his head down a little bit more now and just put in the work? Or what do you think?
He's got a choice. He's got a choice to make. Because on one hand, they just wrote him a hell of a story.
Yes.
They did. I mean, the context for a truly, you know, his whole thing is legendary, right?
Yes.
The context for a truly legendary story is there. And he has the opportunity to pick up the pen and write it.
Mm.
Now the question is, does he have the mental capacity to do so?
Right.
You know, and yeah, confidence is great. But if he can't take his confidence and attach it to resilience, now it could plummet him, right?
Mm.
So I think that he's got a choice to make. And at the end of the day, the way that he's presented as this really confident person, I don't think that that will be the thing that takes him down, if that makes sense.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, you know, I think really the thing is he talks.
Right.
He talks a lot. His dad talks a lot.
Yes.
You put that together, that's a lot of talk,
oh, yeah.
Right?
Yes.
But he hasn't actually done it. Does that make sense? And I think that's, you know, he had his own little, what did he do? He created like his own little room,
right? This draft
that
he room. Was,
this
yes.
draft room. It's like,
yes.
On one hand, it's like, I get it, right? Because he's still young. He's a young kid, and this is going to be one of the best moments of his life. So he's hype. He's hype as hell, as should anybody in that position would be.
Yes.
But he also has to remember he hasn't actually done it yet,
right?
And at the end of the day, being picked, if you were picked fifth, if you were picked 144th, you still haven't done anything. You've just been drafted.
Right.
Right? You still got to show up. Then you got to outperform how many other people?
Yeah.
Because how many other people got drafted with you? Right?
Right.
And so you got to outperform all these players that came in with you. Then you got to outperform whoever's in front of you by nature of seniority.
Yes.
Right? Then once you get on the field, if you work hard enough to get to that point, then you got to prove that you deserve to be there through numbers, right? Stats, touchdowns, wins with the team that you're supposed to be guiding towards championships, right?
Yes.
And so there's so much that comes with it. And if he's willing to do the work, he's going to be able to do it. Mm-hmm. And that's why I asked you, actually. Remember, we were having this conversation. I think it was yesterday morning or something. I asked you, is he known to be a hardworking person? Like, do we see videos of him working out? And your answer was kind of in the middle, I guess. Right. You're like, well, you know, his dad says he is. And it's like, okay, well, great. Well, what dad doesn't say that about their kid, right? But I think that would be my concern, is if he's never had to overcome a challenge before. Mm. But if he has, then he just has to duplicate it, right?
Yes.
And the fire's there. I mean, he's being handed the ammo.
Yes.
And now he's just going to have to fire it.
Yes.
So, I mean, you obviously would probably know more about it. Do you feel like he has the ability to overcome this? Like, does he have resilience? Has he shown that he's a resilient person or player?
Yeah, I think he is. I think he has that piece to him for sure, that mentality. And I think his dad is not going to allow for him to waver in that regard. I think that since his dad been there before, like, and he's been there at the most highest level, right? Mm. And so he knows exactly what it takes, right? He knows the work that he has to be putting in on a daily basis, right? He knows the mentality that he has to have. Although I feel like now it needs to be a little bit of a shift, because he can't just be so flamboyant and talking as much as he's been talking, opposed to putting in just more and more work, because he has so much more to overcome now, right?
Right.
I think that less is given to him now. Opposed to if he was one of those top picks, more would have been given to him. But now less is given to him, right? He's on the same level as a lot of those players that's in the fifth round. Like, mm-hmm. regardless of his name, I think mm-hmm. they've shown that. Like, regardless of your name, man, like, we got to go based off of, like, your abilities at the end of the day.
True.
And so I think that the important thing is, though, he shouldn't outwardly let us know how confident he is. I think he needs to internalize it a little bit more. Don't let it go down.
Yeah, definitely not. Yeah.
If anything, I would say turn it up more.
Mm-hmm.
But internalize it, though.
Yeah.
And let it speak through the work that he puts in. And
He has the potential
to do that.
He has the potential, and like I said, he's got a great story that he has a chance to write.
Yes.
But it's up to him.
Yes.
It's not up to any coach. It's not up to who. It's not up to dad.
Yeah.
You know, it is really up to him. And speaking of the dad situation, because I think what you're referring to there, it's like this idea of maybe that structure that he's used to having, that person in his ear that he's used to having being his motivator to keep going or push for more or mm-hmm. know how to be good.
Yeah.
I think there's going to be some distance now.
Yes.
Now, who knows? Maybe Primetime goes and gets coaching position.
Right.
Who knows? At the end of the day, maybe that happens. But I'm saying, theoretically speaking, let's say it doesn't.
Right.
You know, that structure that you're used to having.
Yes.
That family that's always there to get you through those tough moments, or the dad that is legendary, is great.
Mm-hmm.
He's not always going to be there to tell you what work needs to be done or how the work needs to be done.
Right.
So now, like I told you, it's really up to, like, is he going to choose to do that even when nobody else is doing, like, speaking up for him or giving him that structure? And the reason why I told you it's, like, interesting that we brought up this concept is I was thinking about, like, retired athletes, mm-hmm. right? There will be people who are really, really great, you know, high school. Well, I guess let's just say like teenage years, right? That's when mm-hmm. you really start to see like who the true athletes are going to be.
Right.
And then, you know, they do really, really great in high school. They go on to college, have a really, really, really great college career. And then afterwards, you know, they decide to not pursue a professional career. Or we can even talk about retired athletes within professional athletics, right?
Yes.
So these professional athletes that have a really good professional career, and then they retire. And then you see them like 1 or 2 years later, and it's like, just like that, they're like a completely different, not person, but like their physical health, they've kind of stopped caring about it.
Mm-hmm.
their mindset may not be to the level that maybe it was when they were a performing athlete.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they just don't seem as put together, right, I would say, as they did before. Yes. And I've seen this with a lot of people that I, like, was playing soccer with, whether it was high school, college, whatever it was. And now, a few years down the line, and they don't work out. They haven't worked out in X amount of years, right?
Yeah.
Or they don't eat healthy anymore. Now they eat whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, like, really thinking about it the other day, and it's like, it's this idea of this structure being the thing that guides you towards staying on top of your shit, right? Making sure that you're staying on top of your physical health, making sure that you're eating what you're supposed to be eating, right? But there's something else that's behind you, kind of like barking that at you. Even if it's not somebody telling you it all the time, it provides you that structure that you need in order to be great at the thing that you say that you want to be great at.
Yes.
But if we relate that out to, like, real life, most of us don't have that.
Right.
We don't have the coach in the back of our ear. We don't have the scholarship that's paying for our school or our rent, right? We don't got, those things aren't there.
Yes.
So then that lack of structure makes it really, really easy for us to build excuses or to allow for barriers to exist between us and actually achieving the thing that we say we want to achieve in life.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
For sure. And I think that you have to have, like, eternal things that are motivating factors that help with that. I think, you know, I think that the visualization helps as well. Like, if you're somebody who always has structure, like, and you are now retired, right? If you're a retired athlete, right? Before, you had the structure, you had somebody, like you said, telling you what to do or whatnot, but now you don't have that, right? Now it's free game, right? Now it's just whatever it is that you do or you don't do is on you now.
100%.
And, right, you are now responsible 100% for that, right? But at the end of the day, like, if you don't want to fall into what a lot of retired athletes do fall into, as far as, like, gaining weight and stuff like that, let's say, take that for example, you have to visualize, like, what that looks like and visualize the daily things that you need to do to prevent that, right? And have that, like, internal thing that is like, no, I'm not going to allow myself to get to that point, right? Because I think a lot of times we get too lax and then we never go back to the discipline aspect of it. And we don't consider, like, how important it is, you know, because the reason I think a lot of athletes stick to the structure that's put around with the coaches is that we realize how important it is to play. Because if you're not doing what you're supposed to do, you're not going to play.
It's like reward based.
Yeah, it's reward based, right? And so we know that, right? Even if we don't like the structure, we're still it's forcing us to, because it we all have a common goal, right? My common goal is to get on the court and play well. And the coach's common goal is to win.
Right. Exactly.
You know? Yeah. And so, I think that you have to internalize it and you have to make it personal, I would say, as well. Right. Don't be, 1 foot in, 1 foot out with it. You have to make it personal and you have to be hell bent on not allowing yourself to fall in whatever it is, whatever vice that you may have, I would say.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Yeah, I think that's what usually, I guess, catches up is if all you, let's say you really want to be wealthy, right? Yes. And that's like your life goal. If the only thing that is motivating you is a reward-based motivation, when things get really, really hard, it's going to be a lot easier for you to lack the confidence to keep going.
Yeah.
Or lack the ability to keep going.
Yeah.
Or lack even the want to put up with whatever hard thing is in the way between you and the wealth that you said that you want. But when you find a way to ensure that your motivation is more than just reward-based, and you attach yourself to that discipline that it takes to avoid those comfort zones that we referred to at the beginning,
yes,
that I think is what makes the biggest difference down the line.
I would say so. And I also think, like, one of the things that I do when, because, I mean, life is so up and down. Chasing your goals is so, such an up and down type of a deal. Like, you got highs, but you're also going to have your lows, and then you're going to have the things that's in between, right? And so one of the things, especially when I get low, one of the things that I've been really adamant about is, like, positive affirmations, giving positive affirmations to myself, replacing, like, those things like I can't with how can I, right? Constantly. And it's the little things at the end of the day, such as that, right, that helps with that mindset shift of, like, being feeling like you're down on your luck and then constantly trying to push for something and you feel like you're not going anywhere because you're not reaching the big thing, but in actuality you are moving forward. You're not moving backwards, or and you're not staying stagnant. You're moving forward. You're probably not moving as fast as you would want to, but you best believe that you're moving forward.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that nobody can take away from you. And so I think, like, continuing to just, like, put into my mindset daily some of the positive things that I'm doing and giving myself a pat on the back.
Yeah.
You know,
small wins.
Yeah, the small wins, because you're not gonna have everybody there to do that. And you can't depend on people to pat you on the back when you
it's gotta be that internal thing you're hinting at.
It's gotta be internal. And I think that, you know, positive affirmations is really good. Even saying it out loud to yourself is really good as well.
Definitely.
You know, because for me, I'm a self-talker, you know.
Yes, you are. I catch you talking to yourself all the time.
I self-talk all the time, and it helps me mentally, like, break down certain things. It helps me develop certain strategies. It just helps when I say things out loud a lot of the times. And it's like, oh, that's not as hard as it may be.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, I figured out how to get through this now.
Yeah.
You know, and it helps you, like, break through that brick wall that you may have up. You may feel like you can never break through, but you start to talk yourself through it, then you may find yourself to be able to climb up that wall and then climb up, go around.
Not always trying to get just through it.
Yes.
Yeah. And just to break down affirmations a little bit more, because that internal therapist part of me still exists, is first of all, for people who can't see RJ, okay, this is like a 200-pound muscular man who's saying that he can do affirmations. Okay, so first of all, affirmations are not just for women, because that tends to be, like, a very misunderstood thing. Also, affirmations are not just looking at yourself and saying, I'm beautiful or I'm strong or like, no, talk to yourself in your own voice, right?
Yes.
You just said, RJ, you talk to yourself. You don't talk to yourself using my voice.
Correct.
You don't talk to yourself using Sarah's voice, right? No, like, you talk to yourself in a language that makes sense to you.
Yes.
Your affirmations are what you need them to be in whatever moment that you're in, right?
Yes.
And a lot of times what I find is, like, as a therapist, right, a lot of times we do talk about affirmations. And the minute I say that, people are like, man, that doesn't work.
Yeah.
Well, it usually doesn't work because you're not doing it right. You're trying to do it the way that Instagram is telling you to do it. But for example, an affirmation to, you know, one of my girlfriends is probably going to look very, very different to an affirmation that I have for myself.
Correct.
While one of my girlfriends might talk to herself a little bit more positively, I do not. I'm aggressive, right?
Right.
So I might have, my affirmation might sound something like, bro, you are not doing enough, but you've proven to yourself before that you can do more and you were fine. You made it through this. You can do that again. Right. And so that is an affirmation. A lot of times I tell people, add a but to your affirmation. Be honest. If you need to say something that feels truthful, right?
Yes.
If you need to label the negative emotion or thought that you're having first, that's fine. Name it first, add a but, and move on. And that a lot of times feels a lot more natural than just going on Pinterest and seeing like positive affirmations, right? And then it gives you the top 100.
Yes.
Like, no.
No, that's
lazy, right?
Yeah.
Do the work that it takes for you to understand what you need in those moments.
Yes, and it's going to be uncomfortable. Yeah. It's going to be very uncomfortable because it's now personal, right? Mm-hmm. Because going on Pinterest is not personal. It's very generalized, right?
Someone else came up with that affirmation for you. Exactly. But then you're supposed to believe it.
Yes.
And it's supposed to change your circumstance. Like, no, yeah. That's lazy.
Yes.
That's the easy way
yes.
to do that, right?
Yes.
And you know, and I think too with... That's the misconception with confidence, too. Mm. It's like, if I just go and look to see how somebody else does it, or if I just go and compare myself to somebody else who's already doing it,
right?
That's enough for me to just copy and paste, and then boom, I'm going to be this confident person. Mm. It's like, nah. Like, because the truth is, your confidence might come from completely different angles than somebody else's, right?
Yes.
Is it attached to an insecurity that you have? Mm-hmm. Is it attached to a trauma you've been through, right? Yeah. Is it attached to somebody in your life who used to tell you that you're not going to be able to do something, mm-hmm. right? What is it attached to? And no one else can do that work for you. Like, you're the only person who's going to be able to have those conversations with yourself.
Yes. And everybody's story is different, you know? So everybody is not going to, everything's not going to be the same for everybody. And the way one person goes about certain things mentally is not going to be the same way that you can go about it exactly to a T. Yes, you can pull certain things, sure. right? Of course, but it's going to still look different because now you have to apply to your unique situation, your unique person.
Yeah.
Right. And then just go from there. And I think that's an important piece of it as well.
Yeah.
I would say.
So what is a time in your life that you remember, like, maintaining confidence during that time was a difficult thing for you?
I would say when I first became a personal trainer, mm-hmm. it was hard for me to get clients in the beginning. And I think that's a lot of times that's the toughest part of that profession, is that starting out stage where you're probably working somewhere where you're relying for them to give you clients and stuff like that. And it's just, this is not happening. And you start to question, is this for you? You know?
Yeah.
And you're going up to people trying to get clients and it's
like
just,
begging, please train with me.
please train with me. Please. Like,
just give me a chance.
Yes. I charge like $5.
First two sessions free.
First two sessions free. Right? Like, you doing all of that, and you may do all of that, and they still say no.
Exactly.
And then that really is tough, and it can hinder your confidence. Mm-hmm. But I think, and so that was the case for a while for me. But I continue to, I feel like, just put in the work and lean into the confidence even more because I knew what I was capable of. I knew that I had put in the work as well. I knew that the preparation was stellar, I would say, because even though at the time I was an amateur, I prepared like a professional. And I think that was the most important piece of it. I always remained professional and my work was of professional quality. And so lo and behold, I started to get clients and started to get the ball really rolling. But it was tough because it makes you question it, you know, and it's like, especially if you don't have, I didn't have like a backup plan at the time or anything like that. So this was it for me. So if this didn't work, I didn't know what I was going to do, you know, and everybody wants to have a successful career. When people think about like, oh, I want to have a career in this, a career in that, they don't label mediocrity with that thought process.
Right.
They think of a successful career, whatever that may be.
For sure. No one talks about how they want to be a doctor, but they want to be the worst doctor in the hospital.
Exactly. You want to be the best of the best. Mm-hmm. Right. And so that was the thing that kept me going. You know, I was determined to make this thing work. I didn't know what I was going to do. I was just going to stay the course and continue to just put in the work. And really, what I would like to say is just like, I back engineered the no. When a client would say no, I back engineered it. Well, why? I would ask them why. And they'll say, oh, well, I just can't afford it right now. And I was like, okay, well, what if I make the first couple of sessions free and I split up the payments, et cetera, give discounts, whatever the case may be. Now, why is it still no? And you just go from there, you just back engineer. Maybe it was something that I did do, right? And it's like, it's that honesty piece, and it's uncomfortable, you know? But that's what made me...
Well, because at the front of that, you have to accept the fact that you just failed.
Correct. Yes.
And then have the confidence to still know that you've done the preparation to deal with that no.
Yes.
So you didn't take that no as a, that's the end of the race. You took that no as a, that's a water break. Okay. Correct. Drink my water now.
Now we go again. Mm-hmm. And now we go again, not the same, but better, I would
right,
say.
Right.
Come back better next time.
Do you feel like that's attached to like the knowledge that you, I guess, continuously prepare yourself with?
Well, I think so. I think that, you know, continuing to educate yourself in the field and educate yourself on human behavior is very important as well, because you learn a lot from people who you feel as though isn't giving you the attention that you earn from them, you know? And it's like you just learn. And you continue to learn. And you don't take it personal either. That's one of the things that I never did either. I didn't take it personal, right? I looked at it as something that was an ongoing process for something bigger. Like, I looked at myself as a project. Like, okay, like we're going to try this out. And we're going to continue to get better and better and better, right? Until it's rock solid.
Yeah.
And so it takes a lot of honesty and just... being uncomfortable with that failure piece, but maintaining confidence at the same time. Because like for you, like how do you correlate failure with confidence? Like, do you think that like a ton of failure can build confidence? Or do you think a ton of failure is nothing but detrimental to confidence?
Yeah, well, it can be both simultaneously. I guess failure can serve as practice in a way, right? Mm-hmm. So kind of like what you're referencing to. So, okay, I did it this way. It wasn't enough. I failed. Let me go back to the drawing board, find a different way to do this. Maybe not completely new, but a different way to do this, and let me try again. Mm-hmm. Okay, I fail again. Okay, bet. Same thing. Go back to it, tweak it, go again, right? And so if you can find a way to hold yourself accountable for continuing to do that through like a repetition of failure, then I think it can be a really good thing for you.
Yes.
But repetition of failure can also be really detrimental. Mm. If we want to be truthful, I mean, failure sometimes comes with a really big consequence. Mm. Even if you try your absolute best, right?
Yes.
Let's say you're trying to start your own business. Mm-hmm. And you think you're about to be the best personal trainer in all of the country, right?
Right.
In the USA, US of A, okay? Right? And so you take all the courses, you get your certification, you take out a loan. Mm-hmm. Right? And so you use that money to start this business that you claim you're going to be great at.
Right.
And you assume that you have everything that it takes to do it. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you take that money and you start. And you fail. Mm-hmm. That consequence isn't just a, oh man, I failed. No, that consequence is debt. That consequence is missed bills. Yes. If you've got a family, that consequence goes into pressure on your partner because you're not bringing in money, right? Mm-hmm. There's so many other the consequences that come from failure too. But just like I had told you before, that's where confidence has to come with resilience too. Mm. I think they have to go neck and neck. You can't just have one and not the other.
Correct.
You have to.
Yeah.
Because the truth is that is what failure is going to feel like for a lot of people. Yeah. And that's what it's going to mean. And sometimes it's not just as simple as going to the drawing board. Sometimes it's taking a complete pause and having to resource, right? Or going back to school and maybe obtaining more knowledge than you did before. It might take a whole new drawing board altogether, right?
Yes.
So do you have the resilience to do that?
Right.
If you don't, it's going to tank you 100%.
Yeah.
So it can be detrimental.
Yeah. And I think that's why whatever it is that you are doing or whatnot, you have to go into it with like the mentality and belief system that you are absolutely going to do whatever it takes to make it work. You got to, because otherwise a lot of the things that shouldn't crush you will crush you in it, right? A lot of the things that you should be able to come back from, right? A lot of the setbacks that you should be able to come back from, you won't come back from if your belief system isn't tight.
Well, here's the other thing too. You need to be able to manage your emotions.
Yes.
We're all emotional. I don't care who you are or where you're at when you listen to this episode, okay? I don't care if you're a man, a woman. I don't care how you identify. Like, we all have emotions. That's the thing that'll keep you from getting to the point where you want to get at.
Correct. Yes.
And it's not because you shouldn't be allowed to be emotional. When you fail, it should hurt. It should hurt your feelings, right? But then, do you have the ability to manage that and make your confidence overcome that initial burst of emotions? So you fail at something, you're going to get sad, you're going to get pissed, you're going to be frustrated, you're going to want to give up. Those are all emotions, right?
Right.
Can you bring in confidence? Can you mix in resilience into that mix? Mm. Manage those emotions, not so that they disappear, but so that they don't have the potential to stop you from doing the thing that you want to say, that you want to do, right?
Right.
You got to stop your own bullshit.
Yeah.
You're going to come up, when you fail, you're going to come up with all sorts of reasons why you shouldn't try again.
Yeah.
That list is going to be 100 bullet points long.
Right.
Can you stop that? Can you stop your thought processes from doing that?
Mm.
That's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
But if you haven't done the work beforehand, because those emotions don't just exist in a moment of failure when you're chasing success.
Mm.
Those emotions have existed for your whole life, right?
Yes.
So how do you manage situations that make you upset? How do you manage situations that make you sad? Unrelated to your career, your profession, the success that you're going for, right?
Right.
When you're on the road and a car swerves in front of you,
mm-hmm.
how do you manage the anger that sets in right away, right?
Right.
Do you have the ability to manage your emotions? If you don't, that's going to be shining nice and bright when you experience failure in whatever career, profession, trade that you decide to go into.
Yes.
So that confidence will be non-existent.
Yeah, and I think like how to be able to unpack that, to know if you have that, is that you got to just do the daily work before you even get to that point.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So if you are wanting to start that business, way before you start that business, you need to know and understand all of the things that may come with that, all of the setbacks. So you need to start to prepare yourself for that. Right. Mentally, I feel like, you know, you need to make sure, like, how do you need to do a little bit of an evaluation upon yourself on, like, how do you handle stress, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready to really be this, be this CEO?
Yeah.
And be this boss? Because it sounds nice. I was going to say, it sounds really nice.
Right.
And if you ask anybody, do they want to be the CEO of whatever business it is? So if you ask them, would you want to be the CEO of Amazon today?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
They just see the salary that's going to come with it.
Exactly.
They don't see the mental capacity that comes with it, you know, and being able to be cool, calm, and collected in times where everybody else, your staff may be going crazy. Your staff may be not having put in that work mentally. But that's why you are the boss, because they're going to be looking at you. Like, okay, where do we go from here? What direction in which we go? You know, how do we navigate this?
Mm-hmm.
Right? You got to be the one who has put in all those extra days, extra hours on yourself to make sure that you are able to make those types of decisions, and making those decisions with confidence, not emotional, like how you said,
mm-hmm.
And being stern on it, and being able to lead people, lead a business, you know. I think that's so important.
Yeah.
Very important.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, a lot of times we assume that if you're confident enough, if you believe in something enough, that is your ticket to make it happen. Mm-hmm. It's not. Confidence does not mean automatic success. That's not what that means. Because confidence comes with a lot of other things, right?
Right.
And so if you're a person who's looking to increase your confidence because you don't have confidence in yourself now, it probably means you haven't done enough hard stuff. Mm-hmm. It probably means you haven't put yourself in enough uncomfortable positions. Probably means you haven't failed enough.
Yes.
It probably means you haven't been stressed out enough. Right.
Right.
Like that's more than likely what it means.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that you can't. It doesn't mean that you can't be successful. It just means that you've settled for comfort.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that like once you do the uncomfortable work and then you figure out how to reverse it and start to replace those things with things that you should be doing, then I think you're one step closer to really being able and being ready to do what you set your eyes on, you know?
I agree.
So
to wrap up today, I have one other thing that I wanted to ask you. Because obviously we've established that confidence is something that kind of we have to practice, mm-hmm. whether through it's through experience or through affirmations, whatever that may be, it has to be a repetition of practice, right? Right. So what is something that you do every day to ensure that you nurture your confidence?
The affirmations.
You're not allowed to say workout or affirmations. We already talked about those things. Okay. Yep. I'm putting you on the spot.
I feel like the music that I listen to.
Okay.
Yes. The music that I listen to, especially when I'm feeling like probably like a little shaky mm-hmm. with what I'm trying to do or whatnot and what I'm trying to accomplish. Because like you say, like, you know, just shoot for the stars.
Right.
But shooting for the stars come with so much.
Man, you need a damn spaceship to do that.
Yes, it comes with so much. And so that in between you shooting for the stars, like on your way to the stars, right. It's so hard. You never know
the rocket might just give out.
Exactly, right? Rocket may give out. It might start bogging out, shaking, and you may fall. You think you're falling back down, right. You know? And so, but like, I listen to like you. I feel like I am a believer in like you are what you surround yourself
what you consume. With
and what you consume, mm-hmm. what you mm-hmm. listen to, and what you set your eyes on to what you watch on a daily basis. And so music plays a big part into that. And so I listen to music that, you know, is giving things in which I want to accomplish, mm-hmm. such as like, you know, certain success and things of that nature and who I aim to be mm-hmm. in life. And I think that helps, you know, because it's not you saying it, it's you just hearing it. And even if it's being put in a way that it's kind of disguising itself, it's still there. So you may hear the beat and you may like the beat, but like at the same time, you're hearing what they're saying,
yeah.
right? The positivity in it and like the things that you want to accomplish too, right?
Yeah.
So now you got both things going mm-hmm. It doesn't feel like homework. It doesn't feel hard to do, to
true.
Listen to,
very true.
You know, and that really helps me. You know, along with the positive affirmations and the working out.
Oh, okay.
You know,
okay,
so
right.
definitely listening to music and watching, you know, motivational things mm-hmm. helps as well, like on Instagram and such as well. Because I think too, like the content is so much content out there. It's so much content.
And it's free.
and so it's so much content now. And we are the new generation to be able to receive this amount of content at any given time. Right.
Right.
So you got to keep that in mind. And so it's so much BS out there
that
people consume themselves with. But if you are the right person that's got the right mentality, Like, you can really lock in on some key helpful things that's completely free, and you can watch it over and over and over again to the point where now that is what's driving certain decisions that you're making in your own life, and you don't even know it.
Yeah.
Right? 100%. And so it's so many different things like that. But, yeah, so those are the things. Music and, like, switching the content, because I do still consume some of the content that don't even stuff. Unnecessary reels, Instagram reels and stuff like that. Right. So it's like I do that, but once I get to that point, I like professional, like with my professional career, there is a big switch, you know, that I do make, and that really helps me get back into motion with what I'm doing.
Gotcha.
So
you want to drop a bar for us really quick?
Absolutely like, not. Nobody want to hear that. You got any
song recommendations?
No.
Okay. But appropriate ones.
Exactly. It's not out. It is plenty out there. No,
and you got to find your own. Absolutely. Everybody, you got to find your own hype up song.
Yes.
For sure.
Yes. But what about you?
What's the question you asked me for? You want me to drop a bar? Or?
No, not a bar. But what are some of the things that you do on a daily basis that's not working out and is not?
Oh, so you're adding restrictions to mine,
yes,
too?
Yes, of course. Okay. Absolutely.
So no working out.
No working out. And like not even like the joy that you get from being a therapist either. Take that out, man. Too. So what is it?
I observe. I look at people that have what I wish I had. I don't compare myself to them.
Okay.
I just watch.
Yeah.
This isn't necessarily something I do on a daily basis, but I do it often enough. I will go on a drive somewhere where I know there's really, really big houses. Or I'll take a different route. Like, let's say I'm going somewhere where I go all the time. I'll take a different route knowing that I'm going to pass a really big house or a really rich area.
Right.
Obviously, I want to be really, really successful. And in today's world, success is tied to money. Okay. So that's just the truth. If you disagree with that, I'm sorry. It's just the truth, right? Not saying that money's going to make me happy, but I do want to be successful. And with success, from my vision, also comes this idea of me having certain things in my life, such as a home, a nice home. In a nice area where I'm happy and where one day I'll have my family, right? And that's what I envision. When I go on those drives and look at those really big houses or those really nice areas, it reminds me that even though I haven't done it yet, it can be done before. It can be done. It's been done before. Yes. It gets done every day. So who the hell is there to tell me that I can't? What's the difference?
Right.
I don't know what those people went through. Those people don't know what I've had to go through to get to the point where I am today.
Right.
The point is, if I say I want something, I can get it. Yeah. Just like other people have.
Yes.
Doesn't mean my journey's going to look the same. Doesn't mean that the obstacles that I overcome is going to look the same. But it does mean that at the end of the day, if I want it bad enough, man, it's right there. Yeah. I just got to go get it.
Yeah.
And so that's something that I do often. Also, I look at expensive cars. That's been a really, if you look through my Instagram likes, man, Lamborghinis have been a big, big topic for my Instagram likes, right? And so, like, I do have a thing for cars. And, it started out with me being obsessed with Mustangs, which I still would have a Shelby Cobra, in case you were wondering. But just like, yeah, and those, and like I said, a lot of times those nice things that I'm referring to, like a big house or a fancy car, it is attached to money, but that's not always how I look at it. Like, I look at that as a symbol of success, a symbol of having something that I say I want that takes me being successful to get it.
Right.
So just bridge the gap. Like, I literally look at it, I'm like, SB, just bridge the gap. It's right there. So bridge the gap so you can walk across the bridge and get it. That's it.
Yeah.
It's that simple. Yeah. Don't make it more complicated than it needs to be. Look at it. Observe. Look at how many people already have it. Now add yourself to the pool. Done.
Yeah.
No excuses. No BS in between. It's right there. Go get it.
Yeah.
Simple.
I love that.
Yeah. So that would be my thing if we take out working out and being a therapist.
Yes. Those big houses. Nice cars.
100%. And I would say music too, but you kind of took the spotlight on that. Yeah. But I agree. A hype song will take you many, many places.
Absolutely.
So, but yeah, is there anything else that you wanted to add to the conversation before we wrap out? Any last words of advice?
I will say, just to anybody out there who is feeling just stuck, anybody out there who is just wanting to do something, but they just feel like they can't do it, and they probably just feel like they don't have the ability to, like, get out of your head. Like, you can do it.
Yeah.
Like,
100%.
Just take that first step, whatever step that may be. Take it.
Just take
it. Just do it. Right. Literally, Nike. Like Nike. Just do it. Right. But don't just do it and don't half do it.
Mm-mm.
Like, do it with conviction. Right. And stand on it and be stern about it. Like, no, I'm here. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to dedicate myself to do it. And you never know how it may turn out. And so don't continue to just run so many different scenarios in your head of the ifs, the ands, or what if, or the what ifs, you know, of what if this doesn't work? What if, whatever the case may be, because, like, with positive affirmations, turn that negative self-talk into, what if it do work? What if this do go right?
Exactly.
You know, because that's so powerful. And continue to just put those positive things into your head on a daily basis, and try not to skip that, because that's so important. That's so important, because now you're starting to mentally change, and then that mental change is going to turn into habit change. And that's one of the most important things, because now that you're changing your habits, now you can actually probably get to what you want to achieve. And it starts with changing habits. The most successful people in this world has habits that you can only imagine, you know, waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning and starting their grind from there, because they know their competition don't wake up until 6 o'clock in the morning. They want that one step, you know. You got to be, you have to be really dedicated to it. And again, they're doing that, and they're doing it with conviction, and you have to do the same thing. You know, even if you're not where they are at, you have to do that. Even though you're an amateur, you need to start to prepare like you're already a professional.
I love that. All right, guys, that's it for today. RJ and I are officially back, so make sure you follow the Mentally Entangled podcast either on Apple Podcasts or Spotify so that you can stay up to date with each episode as they are released. We're back. And the same is the same. You know, mental health is really important. There's no person that goes unaffected by mental health. Your mental health is involved in everything, from the way that you think to the way you feel, and even the impact it has on the way that you act. So in other words, you're mentally entangled in every aspect of your life. So make sure you take care of your mental health. It's something that you definitely can't afford to ignore. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.